An independent commission to make recommendations about the restructuring of the Army is not meeting with much welcome from Army leaders, but it does have some support. Major General Gus Hargit, U.S. Army National Guard, retired as president of the National Guard Association of the United States. General Hargit, it's a pleasure to have you on the program this afternoon.
Well, it's great to be with you, Francis.
Why do you think this is such a good idea at this stage of the game, sir?
Well, you know, I just think it's always good to take an independent look at something. You know, the Guard obviously looks at it from our view. The Army looks at it from their view, and everybody's got a different view, and I think it's just a good idea. You know, I really think if you go back and look at what we got out of the Air Force Commission, a lot of great recommendations, a lot of ways to save money, and I just think it's a good idea. And obviously, you know, you got people negotiating with each other, and there are so many half-truths floating around about guardsmen versus active and cost versus this, and readiness and availability and accessibility. I just think it's a good idea that if I were Congress, I would want an independent look.
We've seen a number of fireworks in the last couple of weeks and months, and we're not here to decide where it started and so on. But why do you think that we got into a point, into a position where folks are looking at this as though you all are separate components rather than an army that's working together for the same goal, which is to beat the bad guys when you have to?
Yeah, you know, that's a great point. I think we kind of got here, and I think I heard the chief describe it the other day as like a family feud over dollars. So I guess that's where we would start. If you talk to the Adjutant General, what they would tell you is that they knew what their part of the bill was, and they offered many solutions to pay that part of the bill without giving up the structure, without giving up the helicopters, and by giving up some helicopters, but that they were just totally rejected at every turn, and not one thing that they ever offered was accepted by the Army. So I think that was the beginning. I think if you want to be honest about it, about a year ago I saw some slides that the Army was doing on the Hill, and it started at that time to make the case that the Guard wasn't as ready. They weren't accessible. You could kind of see this start to build up about a year ago. And it's all about money. It's all about resources.
And so when I came away from the hearing at which you and other leaders testified, it struck me that your reason for being so behind this idea of a commission is to let somebody who doesn't have the kind of the dog in the fight to try to make some recommendations and help sort this family feud, as you call it, out. Am I on target there?
I think so. I think you need to have somebody who doesn't have skin in that game. But and to say that, now all Americans have skin in the game. We need to figure out how we can provide the best defense of the country for the least amount of dollars, and that's really what this is all about. And I think if you look at it from an insider view, we will protect programs that probably shouldn't be protected. We will protect structure that we probably shouldn't protect, probably in all the components. So I just think it's a good idea.
Who do you think needs to make the next move here? Is there some way that, given that there is, like in any family feud right now, a little bit of strained feelings, a little bit of bad blood amongst the leadership here, is there somebody else that might have a role in helping to patch things up, some wise counselor that comes into these kinds of family feuds and helps to get things going on the right path again?
You know, Francis, in the past when I've watched this kind of happen, and I remember back in the 90s when Secretary Hamrie was the Vice Secretary of Defense or the Assistant Secretary of Defense, I know he intervened and got personally involved with the associations and with the Army, and they did some things that solved the family feud. And if you watch what happened in the mid-2005 or 6, there was another family feud, and at that time Secretary Rumsfeld got involved in it and called all of them in together and said, hey, let's solve the problem inside. So they were solved inside those two times. So if it's going to happen, it would have had to come from the Secretary or the Assistant Secretary of Defense, and I don't see that happening. I see them, based on what I saw Secretary Fox do on the Hill in the last week or two, I think she has totally taken the active Army position. So I don't know outside the Secretary that there's anybody out there that could that could bring everybody back to the table and reach an agreement.
But do you have any sense where Mr. Work is on this? Because obviously Ms. Fox is not going to be in that job forever.
You know, I don't. I would hope that he goes into it with an open mind and would look at it. But it appears to me that, you know, Secretary Hagel has made the decision, and that now that Secretary Fox is selling what the Army wants to do, it appears to me their decision is made and there is no room for compromise.
So if that, in your view, would start with the OSD and that's not going to happen, then is the next move, is that why you're appealing to Congress for the next move, to see if somebody will tell them to move in this direction?
Yeah, because, you know, I saw some of the slides that Secretary Fox used on the Hill last week, and it basically paints our aviators at 39 days a year and doing all the other stuff. You know, the average aviator that flies Apaches in the Guard flies 100 days a year. And, you know, so that's a story they don't tell. They talk about the 365 days. Well, the average aviator in the Army does not fly like that. I mean, when I was at Fort Hood, Texas, as a young major, we did a survey one time to figure out how many days that everybody there actually performed training, and it was less than 200. You know, by the time you take everything out of it and you do all of the other stuff. So I will acknowledge that the active guys train more than the Guard, but I'll also acknowledge that we pay them 68% more than the Guard, that we're about 32 cents on a dollar. So, you know, sometimes you got to figure out what is it we need and how much money are we willing to spend and what are the risks we're willing to take.
Major General Gus Hargit, U.S. Army National Guard, retired president of the National Guard Association of the United States. Let's say your dream scenario comes true. We get this commission. What would you like to see them look at? How would you like to see them look at it? And what kind of product do you want them to produce, sir?
You know, I'd like to see them look at it a holistic view, look at the whole Army, the Guard, the Reserves, the active. Look at what structure is required to fight the nation's wars and to respond in the homeland. See where that best fits into any of the three components. Figure out how we do that and the least amount of risk that we take for the least amount of money, if that makes sense.
It does. What didn't the people who worked on the Quadrennial Defense Review do that commission would do? Because those sound like strategy goals that one would think would be contained to some degree in the QDR.
You know, having been around the QDR forever, what I have seen the QDR develop into over time is always a budget drill. And so you've got the same inside the Pentagon guys doing the budget and the QDR. It becomes a budget drill. It's not about strategy. And the strategies actually, you know, kind of comes from the president and the national command authorities that talk about what do you want us to be able to do. So what do we want our Army to be able to do? What do we want the Department of Defense to be able to do? And I don't think you can take a budget and develop a strategy. I think you have to have a strategy and develop a budget. And I think we do it backwards.
So this commission then might be charged with kind of revamping the entire process by which we go about setting strategy, and it strikes me that we may not be able to do that as looking at just the Army in a vacuum, sir. We may wind up looking at the entire force structure.
No, I think you may be right, but I'll also tell you, if you go back and look at the results of the Air Force Commission, and if you look at what General Welch did after he came in, And some of the things that he started, he took the blinders off, he called in all three components, he brought in a two-star from every component and said, you guys start making recommendations to me, and I'll start implementing those that I can. And he did a lot of that. So what you see now in the Air Force is a lot of the things that came out of the Air Force Commission, General Welch had already done before the commission report because he didn't come in with a view that he knew all the answers when he got there.
General, I appreciate your input on this, and we'll look forward to having you keep us up to date on how this proceeds as it does and if it does. Thank you very much for your time today, sir.
Thank you, Francis.